Well, now let's talk about the fallen angels in your perspective of that.
Sure. Well, basically, most people think they also know the story of the fallen angels if you ask the general population on the street. Now, I know the Coast audience is more familiar with the story of the fallen angels, and it involves the Book of Enoch, and the angels were known as the Watchers and the Sons of God, who came down and cohabitated with humans and married women and had children with them. So that's the angle that I took it, because that is actually more biblically authentic than the story that most people understand of Lucifer rebelling against God and leading the angels, you know, in this war in heaven and everything like that.
Is there science behind it?
In what way do you mean science?
I mean, is it more scientific as opposed to metaphysical?
Well, I would say that the evidence that I've encountered, it does seem that, I don't want to say it's scientific, but the evidence that is available, even including some bones or other things like that, do lend credibility to the Book of Enoch story as opposed to, like, as I said, the Luciferian Rebellion.
Okay, all right. For everybody's benefit, why don't you kind of give us a brief summary of both?
Sure. Well, as I said, most people would think that there's this being that is opposite God who's called Lucifer or Satan, and that wanted to basically usurp the throne of God. And whenever you go and read the Bible, that actually isn't in there. What it is it's a combination of a few different passages and an astronomical teaching referring to the planet Venus, where they were comparing, like, the king of Tyre. They refer to him as Lucifer, which the dawn star. And they're saying that how he tried to rise to heaven and take over the throne of God, but didn't succeed and was thrown down to Sheol, which is the underworld. Well, in astronomical terms, that's talking about Venus that rises in the morning and is known as the dawn star.
Right.
And it rises above the sun, so before the sun, but eventually the sun overtakes it. So it was just comparing it to this mythology about a being that tried to overtake God but couldn't.
All right, and Enoch?
In Enoch, that seems more plausible in my mind, because it's all around the world they refer to this contact experience with these beings that were known as the Shining Ones, or the Kachinas, or Elves, or the Elohim. And essentially, they all say the same thing, that they came here to teach and instruct mankind and to help build civilizations, and things got a little carried away, and so some of them had to be banished.
So we'll get into the who and why, but you believe we were visited then?
I think there's strong evidence to indicate that.
And interpreted then as, by some, angels, by others as truly visitors from another spot.
Yes.
What about dimensional? Does that come up at all in any of your work? That we're not talking about planetary beings here, but
yeah,
dimensional.
I think it's much more likely that these beings exist in another dimension that's parallel to our own.
Okay, so in your theories would echo Jacques Vallée and several others now who have decided that we aren't in the mists of extraterrestrial visitations, but that they are truly dimensional. But what about these crafts, Craig, that we see? I mean, to me, they're physical.
That very well might be, and it's possible. I mean, they could appear physical and take on physical properties. It's just with my research, I'm trying not to group everything in together, where I do think that it's quite possible that we're being visited by extraterrestrials, even if they're interdimensional as well. But I just don't know if I'm ready to jump to the conclusion that, you know, ETs and UFOs are definitively linked to the angelic beings.
Okay, so let's push them aside for a moment. If we have, then, these dimensional beings have been coming to this planet, why, in your opinion? Why did they come here?
Well, as I said, in the Book of Enoch, in the Book of Jubilees, the original story was that they were supposed to basically give humanity a jump start. They were supposed to teach us about civilization and just give us different laws and how to obey them, and essentially just give us a head start so that we could become civilized.
You think it's their role to do that?
For most of them, because a lot of times they act as ambassadors of God, which is essentially what the term angel means. It means messenger or ambassador of God.
Were we already here when they visited us?
I believe so, yes.
So you're not saying we were seeded by them or genetically altered by them?
I don't think so.
The visitations were done when, in your opinion?
It's hard to pinpoint exactly. I would say many of them happened at least 6,000 years ago, if not longer. And some of them could have even been happening maybe just 1,000 years ago. It's just on a smaller scale at that point.
Now, are you a believer that mankind is way older than 6,000 years?
Sure.
There are some who believe this planet is only 6,000 years old.
Yeah, sure. I definitely believe that.
You don't believe that?
Well, I believe that there's, in the evolutionary theory and with the old Earth.
Okay. All right. Okay. That's good to know that perspective. Okay. So when this visitation occurred through this other dimension, how did they become physical?
Well, that gets into the gateways. And something that I kept noticing throughout the text was that it referred to these gates of heaven that would... It would refer to them translating the angels here, and it worked both ways. For instance, in the Book of Enoch, it describes how Enoch was translated to heaven. And something I found very interesting was in the Book of Enoch, if you read a few different translations of it, it actually says that all of his flesh was dissolved and he was transformed. And according to later Jewish text, he was known as to become the angel Metatron.
Now, when you say transformed, I mean, is it like Star Trek where they were beamed aboard?
In some ways, I would say that, but it's basically that it's translating it. If you compare it to language, it's like translating English into French. Or it still has the same meaning and the same purposes. But essentially, it's just changing the format of their bodies so that they can operate in these other dimensions. So they might only be moving a millimeter away from where they're standing at that moment, but it's in another dimension which overlaps our own, but we can't directly interact without that translation.
So it's a good time now then for you to explain the graphic, the cover of Gateway of the Gods, because I think that depicts exactly what you're talking about right now.
Sure. Basically, I sort of got the inspiration from the reference to Jacob's ladder, where it said that Jacob was dreaming and he saw a ladder that was set up on the earth. But if you read the text, it actually says that it was more likely a stairway or a ramp, probably referring to what is known as a Mesopotamian ziggurat, which are the stepped pyramids.
Mm-hmm.
And so it said that he saw God standing at the top and the angels ascending and descending. And he said that, that this is the gate of heaven. And so that provided the inspiration for the cover where I depict the ancient ziggurat with the angels ascending and descending down the stairway.
You have put glowing wings on these creatures. How come?
Basically, it was more of an artistic rendition since so many people associate wings with the beings. And even in the ancient artwork, they show that. However, in many times, sometimes the text described them with wings, other times it doesn't. I just sort of wanted to go for an artistic representation to show that they weren't necessarily human and they had this glowing, shining appearance about them.